Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Unscripted Wrestling. And tonight, my hosts are Doug Homer and Daniel Homer. How are you guys?
Good, Eric. How are you?
Pretty good.
I'm pretty good. Tonight, we'll be reviewing AEW's Fighter Fest and previewing Fight for Fallen. Let's start off with the three-way tag team match between Best Friends and SoCal and Private Party. Best Friends Chuck and Trent won, defeated, and that was in 15 minutes. Who wants to start?
I'll start. I thought it was a really good match. I like the Private Party actually looked pretty good here, especially for a young tag team. I thought it did a good job of making them look good. SCU is always good, and I like that the Best Friends are getting a push. So overall, I thought it was a nice 3.5-star match for a pre-show.
Yes. Yeah,
I liked it too. I mean. As far as Private Party goes, to me, Private Party just seemed like a, you know, kind of a knockoff of NXT's Street Profits. But I do like the guys. I think they're very athletic. I think they're very good in the ring. I think that the best decision was made here is to give the Best Friends the win. I mean, I would give it about 3.5 stars myself, but no, it was a good match. I mean, to be honest with you, this match probably should have been on the main show.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Best Friends are my favorite tag team in AEW so far. I think Chuck Taylor and Trent whatever his name is, are probably the best tag team in that division, besides Young Bucks.
They are, and I'll tell you this right now. I can't wait. If they ever do a match with the Best Friends versus the Lucha Brothers, you know, I'll be happy.
Yeah. I would like to see a three-way. Best Friend versus Young Bucks versus
I was going to say, what did you say? It sounded like you just said you want them in a three-way. I mean, Eric, come on. It's a family show. It's a family show, Eric.
You know, and I give it 3.5 stars myself. I think Best Friends are going to eventually win the tag team titles. I don't know if they're going to be the first ones, but I think they're going to make the finals in that tournament all out.
Well, here's the thing. Obviously, they're setting up a feud between them and the Dark Order, you know, the former Super Smash Brothers. So, obviously, you know, that's going to happen at some point. I don't see that being a final in the tag team tournament, but I do see it being a semifinal.
Yeah, I agree with that. And
then if the Best Friends win the titles, then Dark Order is who they're going to face first.
Exactly. Do you agree with that, Daniel?
Yeah, I agree.
That's a first.
I like the Best Friends. Shut up, Doug. I like the Best Friends, and I think the Dark Order could be good. We just got to give them some time.
Exactly. I think they're going to be the heel tag team in that division. I think they need another heel. Yeah. I don't know. Is SoCal considered a heel tag team, or
know if they're considered a heel right now. They're very over. I don't know if they'd be considered a heel team. I mean, the Young Bucks could probably be considered a heel team.
But they're still over,
just
too.
Just because they're dicks. Yeah.
Yeah, I consider the Dark Order probably the heel of that division, and SoCal and Young Bucks are probably baby faces.
Like tweeners. Tweeners.
Tweeners, yeah. Yeah. Just like Austin was. Moving on to the second match of the pre-show, it was Ali versus the librarian, Lena Brett, with Peter.
Leva Bates.
Oh, thank you. And who was he? Who was she with? At ringside.
What the hell? This guy's name like Peter Avalon or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never saw him. I thought this was a decent overall match. It wasn't. I think it was just more over to put out Allie.
It's to get Allie ready for, you know, Fight for the Fallen against Brandy.
Exactly.
And first of all, this whole stupid librarian gimmick. First of all, these people, you know, Leva Bates and this other goof, are not 65 years old. All right, so they have no business being librarians.
Yeah, I thought that was probably the worst part of the show. Those two trying to be librarians.
Yeah, it's dumb. I mean, yes, yeah. Leva Bates has blue hair, but she's nowhere near 65 years old.
No.
No, the librarian gimmick is ridiculous. For the match to give Allie momentum for her upcoming match, I think it worked in that aspect. But I also,
exactly.
I think the librarian shtick is stupid. I don't think it does anything for her or that Peter Avalon. And I think that's probably the only skip worthy moment of the show.
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, the match was fine. It's just, you know, it's with a stupid gimmick.
Yes. So therefore, I turn it down to probably a 2.5 out of 5 because of that stupid gimmick.
I'd give it a 2.
Oh, well, I was going to give it a 2, but then I thought, 2.5 is probably decent.
What, are you afraid Leva Bates listens to this show?
Never know. Okay, moving on to the last match of the pre-show, the hardcore match, the first hardcore match of the night. Michael Nakazaka versus Alex, I don't know, I can't pronounce his last name.
Jeb Bailey.
Huh?
Jeb Bailey.
Oh, Jay Bailey? Okay.
No, Jeb Bailey is the guy's last name.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This was a 9.5 minute match.
It was 9 minutes and 29 seconds too long.
I guess it wasn't your cup of tea.
I swear to God. Well, first of all, I am not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna diss a guy in a Japanese guy that lathers himself in baby oil, all right? You know, you do whatever you want to do. You make your own life choices. But Jesus
Christ.
Yeah,
Doug does that every Saturday night.
Yeah.
Remember, Danny, this is live radio.
Yeah. Don't give away the details to all our family barbecues. But this match to me, like, it was just meant to be a comedy match, I know, but I thought this was the dumbest shit of, and to be honest with you, this felt like a Vince Russo booking.
Yeah, I didn't really enjoy it. I thought it was a bore. So, what do you give it?
I give it a 1.
I give it a 0.5.
To me, for what it was, I don't think it was that terrible. I just think for AEW to be such, they are so wrestling matters and sports centric, and you know, it's good to be entertaining too, but they've said that they don't want to do this hokey shit that WWE does. So when they do it like this, it kind of feels out of place. On a WWE show, I feel like it would be fine, but for AEW, it just didn't work for me. So I would give it a 1. too.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
Here's the thing about this. All right, this would be a match that you would expect R-Truth and Drake Maverick to have next week on Raw for that 24/7 title.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, you would expect that on Raw, like you said. But here, where, you know, they're trying to be taken seriously, I mean, I get it. Nakazawa's not a you know, very serious character. All right, and I get it. This Jeb Bailey, he runs the video game convention. I get that. I'm glad that this was just on the pre-show and not on the regular show. If this were on the regular show, you would have a lot of people complaining.
Exactly. Let's move on. Cena versus Christopher Daniels.
This is the first match on the main show.
What?
First match on the regular show.
Thank you, Doug. I forgot to mention that. Thank you.
Well, Daniel mentioned it too, but I'll take credit for it.
Thank you, Daniel. Too.
No problem. Fuck you, Doug.
Cena versus Christopher Daniels. Two guys that have history against each other. They fought in New Japan. And I don't know if they fought in New Japan, but they do have history together. This match surprisingly only went 9 minutes and 40 seconds. I thought it went longer than that, but anyway, Cena defeated Christopher Daniels. You want to start this off, Dan?
Yeah, I thought this was one of the best matches on the card. I thought it was a great opener. And to me, like we were saying the last match with Nakazawa, how it was so not AEW, this match was so AEW, where it's so sports-based, and you don't know who's going to win, and that makes it even better. And it also gets Cena momentum for when he faces Omega at Fight for the Fallen, which we are going to preview. But to me, this just worked on all cylinders. It was a nice competitive match. It wasn't too flippy. It was just a nice bell-to-bell wrestling match, and I would give it 4 stars.
Go ahead, Doug.
I was just going to say, like, you look at this match. This was one of the matches I was really looking forward to, and it did not disappoint. And I would have been happy with either guy winning. But, you know, giving Cena the momentum heading into the match with Kenny Omega, you know, I understand that and I agree with it. But no,
this match
is going to be an excellent match. This match was a 4-star match. And Christopher Daniels continues to show that even though he is 46
Nine.
Years of, or, huh?
49 years old.
He's 49?
Yeah, I just looked it up.
Even at 49 years old, this guy has been wrestling since 1993, and he has not lost a step whatsoever.
Exactly. My brother was 1 year old at 93. I was 8 years old.
I was 7. Daniel wasn't even a thought yet.
Yeah, I wasn't even in the staff yet.
I enjoyed this match. I thought I like how they put Christopher Daniels in the opener because I think he's over, and I think he's a good guy to be in the opening match because he is so over and he's so recognized. And Cena, I'm not too familiar with him at this, but he seems like he's a good wrestler too, and his match could steal the show at 5 foot phone.
I agree.
I give it a 4 out of 5. Next match is a 3-way women's match. I'm not going to attempt to name the other two. They defeated. One of the women defeated Nyla Rose. This went 12 and a half minutes. I thought this was a fairly decent match. Nyla Rose is, I thought it was a fairly good match. I would give it a 3.5 out of 5. What do you two think?
I enjoyed it a lot, actually. I like that Yuka Sakazaki. Yeah, I probably butchered the name, but she was really good. She's a little high flyer or whatever. You know, she was believable as the face of this match, and so was that Riho. I liked how they kind of worked together to take out the bigger force in Nyla Rose, even though it was a triple threat. And, you know, I don't know if I agree with the booking of having Nyla take a fall here, since you kind of want her as the beast of this promotion, but I thought it did what it did, and it did it well, and I thought it was actually a really good match. And I like this women's match better than the Fatal 4-Way at Double or Nothing. I thought this was better.
It was better to a point. I mean, I think that it was bad. I think Nyla Rose kind of suffered from a case of bad booking. And I really think that she should have been the one going over here. I've got nothing against Yuka Sakazawi and the Rio or whatever their names are. I got nothing against them, even though I just butchered their names. But that's okay, because I usually butcher everybody else's name from time to time. But it's just I felt like Nyla should have gone over. But to be honest with you, this was a really good match, and I would give it a 3.
Did you give it a match rating, Daniel?
Yeah, I'd actually give it a 3.5. I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, I give it a 3.5 too. Next match is the 4-way match between Adam Page, Jimmy Havoc, Jungle Boy, and Lucha. Oh no, he wasn't with. No, he didn't fight in MJF. I thought this was a good match. I mean, some people didn't like the booking, but Adam Page had to go over in this one because he has his championship matches for Jericho at All Out in next month, August 31st in Chicago. So I think him going over was the right move. And I give it a 3.75 out of 5.
All right, so anybody that thinks that this was a bad booking decision having Adam Page, having Hangman Page go over is a fucking moron. And the reason why is because this guy is getting ready to challenge for the World's Heavyweight Championship, you know, at All Out, like you said. So therefore, you need to have him booked strong. Unless you're going to have Jericho come out and screw him over. If you have Jericho come out and screw him over, that's one thing. And so anybody that says that, you know, Hangman Page should not have gone over, they are idiots. And unfortunately, you know, I'm sure one of those idiots is from Louisville, Kentucky. You know, lives at a place that he calls Castle Cornet. But here's the thing. Hangman Page is challenging for a world title. So you want the guy that's challenging for the world title to have momentum. It's a very a very big thing, especially in a place where wins and losses matter. Now, MJF is going to be a star, and he knows how to get heat. And but here's the one thing I kind of laughed at, you know, when he started the video game chant and said, "Oh yeah, I used to play video games, but then I lost my virginity." First of all, when you're gang raped by a bunch of male truck drivers, is that really, you know, losing your virginity? I don't think he's ever had sex with a woman.
All right, Doug, this is a PG show, so I'll take over. I thought the match was pretty good, Eric. I mean, I can see because since wins and losses is supposed to matter, it does kind of – because now you got your other top stars, right, Jimmy Havoc. You can tell they have a lot of faith in Jungle Boy, and he might be something someday. I like that little team he's got with that Luchasaurus. And MJF, they're all 0-2 now. So Now it's going to be about them bouncing back. I like the action in this one. I like MJF playing the heel. Jungle Boy is that underdog that we all knew he would be. And Jimmy Havoc is fucking insane, which he needs to be.
Exactly.
And I thought all of them meshed well. You know, Adam Page, you can tell they're going with him, even if he doesn't win at All Out, which I can see them going with Jericho. You can still tell they're grooming him for a world title run in the future. And I'm totally cool with that, especially seeing for... To me, he was always one of the less interesting Bullet Club members, but in AEW, I'm really liking from what I'm seeing from him. I thought it was another 3.5-star match. Not the best, but good outing.
He's improving. He improves every time he gets out there. And I'm going to say that this was... I'm also going to say that this was a 3.5-star match. Hangman Page improves every time he gets out there. He gets better and better. So even if he doesn't win the world title next month against Jericho, you know, he's still going to be one of the guys.
Right.
Exactly. He's a top babyface right now.
Exactly.
Or maybe it's... Or is it Cody? Cody's more like a tweener.
I think Cody's more of a tweener. I'm not 100%
because
sure.
Cody can be pretty fucking heel sometimes with the stuff he does.
He's basically the Triple H of AEW. Because he has his wife. And Triple H has his wife, Stephanie, Randy. So, there's similarities there. And that's why
except
that
his nose isn't bigger than Mount Everest.
Huh?
Except his nose isn't bigger than Mount Everest for Triple H's.
Way sucks.
They could use Triple H's. They could use. I think they actually use Triple H's nose as motivation to build the noses on the Mount Rushmore. Because some of those schnozzes are about as big as Triple H's.
Yeah. Did
and
you guys get a rating for this one?
I gave it a 3. And don't try to censor me here. Remember, we are unscripted, uncensored, unethical. If some of our bosses listen to this, probably unemployed.
All right, next match.
Speaking of Cody Rhodes and Darby Allin, they fought to a limit draw in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I thought Darby Allin showed a lot of potential in this match. He went toe to toe with one of the best wrestlers in AEW, and I think he showed a lot of potential. I enjoyed this match. I kind of knew it was going to go to a draw because it sets up a rematch in the future. I don't think it's going to be at All Out, but. Maybe at the first television show or something.
No, it's not gonna be at All Out. I don't think it'll be at All Out, but as far as this Darby Allin guy, I like Darby Allin. I was so concerned though for his safety when he did that bump where he did the backwards splash and hit the ring.
Yeah,
like, why the fuck would you do something like that? All right, if you can't freaking see the guy and you're going to take that kind of bump.
I thought he died.
I was just like, wow. But no, this match, going to a time limit draw, I think was smart. I actually give this match 4 stars. I mean, I did have to go back kind of and see like parts of this over again, because while we were watching it, Daniel and I got too distracted about me talking about my glorious amateur wrestling career.
Oh boy. We can get into that later, everyone.
I rewatched too. And on the rewatch, it was actually one of my favorite matches on the card. Also, a really good bump in it was when Cody threw Darby Allin in the middle of the ring, in the middle of the ropes, and he hit the post as he flew out of the ring. Ooh. It was crazy. You know, this kid, he's like a mini Mick Foley. And I really like how he puts his body on the line, but also, you know, he's kind of has that underdog role a little bit too. You know, you want to root for him.
Exactly. In the future, I'd like to see maybe, I don't know if AEW is going to do Last Man Standing, but I think these two could go to a Last Man Standing match since they drew.
Oh,
so
That makes
sense. And
I think Darby Allin and John Moxley would be a hell of a match.
Oh, yeah. I think
I do too.
They would, him and Darby and even Jimmy Havoc, too, were, Johnny Gargano.
Yep.
We have to talk about the chair shot.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. I mean, that chair shot that Sean Spears, you know, the former Ty Dillinger, you know, put on Cody, you know, unprotected chair shot. It was unnecessary. I mean, first of all, I never liked Ty Dillinger in the first place. All right. I thought the perfect 10 thing was a stupid gimmick. To me, he was more like a negative 10. All right. I mean, this guy, he came in there with all this fanfare. First of all, he got called up to the main roster after having a losing streak against Eric Young.
Oh,
and then
I didn't know that. Wow.
He comes up, and then he goes to the WWE main roster. He's on SmackDown. He has a 5-match winning streak against Aiden English, of all people. Doesn't get put back on TV then for another, you know, few weeks. And then when
Eight
he comes
weeks,
back
yeah.
to TV, he loses matches to Jinder Mahal and then has his winning streak against Aiden English broken. So forgive me if I don't take this putt seriously. I mean, I know they're trying to push him now, and they kind of started the thing between him and Cody by having Cody say, oh, you know, I don't see him doing anything more than just being a player coach. So I get that, but I can't take this boob seriously.
Oh, really?
No, I understand that. What do you think, Dan?
I disagree, because WWE, with their storytelling, a lot of the times they'll give you too much, right? They'll give you 30 minutes of a program on Raw, so they want you to know what they're selling towards. This is the classic story of two friends that came up together in developmental or whatever. It kind of writes itself. And all he had to do was hit Cody with a steel chair. And I want to see what happens. You know, I can already tell you it's going to be these two at All Out. Because Cody's booked with Dustin at Fight for the Fallen in the tag match. It's got to be these two at All Out. And, you know, I know it was unnecessarily. I know a lot of people are shitting on it. But I liked it because we haven't seen it in so long. I'm not saying it should happen all the time. But I thought it made it. It gave it a level of a dangerous vibe that it kind of needed.
Yep.
Because now it makes you think, oh, anything can happen, you know. I liked it. And now it builds towards this feud, and it makes it more bloodthirsty, and it makes this feud mean something. So I was into it.
Well, and I'll say this. I think it was the match at All Out's going to be good. I'm not saying it's not going to be good. I'm not saying that that Sean Spears is not a good worker. I'm just saying is that, you know, it's hard for me to just take him seriously. I need to see more of him. I need to see what he does in this 6-man tag at Fight for the Fallen. So I will, you know, give him a shot. I'm just saying that right now, you know, coming from where he's coming from, you know, and what he, you know, had to deal with, I'm not sold on him yet. But you can sell me on him.
Yeah,
Doug,
you're not sold on him because of bad booking by WWE. If they book him right here, maybe they will sell you on him.
Exactly, and that's what I want them to do. I want them to sell me. I mean, I don't want them to sell me him because I really don't want him here in my, you know, I really don't want to put him on my front lawn because then I'd have to build him a doghouse. But yeah, so if they can sell me on them, great.
Exactly.
I'm going to get so much hate mail. Don't send this podcast to him.
Okay.
Send it to Cornette.
Hey, you never know. You might want to come on and debate with you. Anyway, I like where this story is going. I hope they have like a type of hardcore match at All Out. I don't know if they should start with that.
I don't know if they should start with
just a regular match. Build up to it, maybe a blood match or something.
Well, here's the thing. When you start a movie, yes, some action movies do start with big scenes or whatever, but you need to draw up to the big bloodbath. They need to start with a basic match or something like that. Don't throw any stipulations with cages or last man standings or I quits
what's another dusty match?
Or, a Texas bull rope or, a bunkhouse brawl or if you win, you get to whip my ass, or you get to whip my wife's ass 10 times with a belt match or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Eric, what's the next match?
Oh.
You are trying to cut me off too much tonight. I will come downstairs and kick your ass.
Dug your 5 foot
okay. Next match is the Elite, Kenny Omega, Matt Jackson, and Nick Jackson versus the Lucha Brothers, Pentagon, Ring Felix, and Luna Kid.
Laredo.
Did I pronounce that right? Laredo Kid. Thank you. Sorry about that. The Elite won. Who pinned Kenny Omega pinned Kid, right?
Yeah, he pinned Laredo Kid.
I thought this was a solid match, solid 6-man tag. It's always the Elite are always great when they're teaming up. The Lucha Brothers, they're great. And the Radio Kid is phenomenal too. I give this a 4 out of 5 stars.
I would give it a 4.5. This was actually my favorite match of the night. I would call it. Well, no, it's not my favorite match of the night, but I would call it the match of the night.
Right.
Okay. And I think that I think that this was I thought this was a really good match. And Kenny Omega, as much as I like to shit on the Young Bucks, and trust me, I do. I mean, it's not necessarily a fetish thing or anything like that. But as much as I like to shit on the Young Bucks are fantastic.
Yep.
And Kenny Omega is just great. And the Lucha Brothers, the Lucha Brothers are great. And this Laredo Kid, he really showed me a lot, too.
I never heard of him until that show.
I've never seen him in action, but I've heard of him.
Where did he come from?
I'm going to go ahead and guess Mexico. Either Mexico or Laredo. Since he is named the Laredo Kid.
No, he was in Lucha Underground, right?
I think so, yeah.
What are your thoughts, Daniel?
I thought it was a good match. I would probably give the match before this, Darby and Cody match of the night. I meant to rate it a 4.5. I don't know if I got to. But this match was really good. For a 6-man tag, it was very flippy. They were flying all over the place, but it still felt like it meant something. Them coming out as the Street Fighter characters, it was cool. It was what it was. I know they're not going to do this all the time. This was kind of a comedy-type show, so it's okay. But the action in this was just so intense. It was awesome. To me, Kenny Omega really he showed a lot later. I know we'll get to that, but he's a star. You know, I'm glad America's finally starting to see a lot more of him. The Young Bucks, they're very good, and the Lucha Brothers are solid. So I think they all put on a great show. And if this was the main event, which I know technically it was, and then they did the lights out shit or whatever, but I think anybody would have been happy with this being the actual main event and then it being over. I would give it a 4, and I thought it was spectacular.
Yep. I give it a 4, too. I don't know if I gave a match rating for the Cody Rhodes match. I give that a 4, too. Moving on to the main event. Not the main event, tension match between John Lashley and Joey Janela. I thought this was a great match for what it was. It was non-sanctioned. I think they used all the weapons they could. I think Lashley looked good in his first match. I think Joey did a good job playing the baby face, the underdog, I guess you could say. If I had to give a rating, I would give this a 5 for what it was.
Well, this was a really good match. I mean, this was a true, like, no-holds-barred, hardcore-type match. Not like what we saw on the pre-show with the video game guy and the discount Akira Tozawa.
Yep.
Okay. This match with Moxley and Janela, this was fantastic. I give it a 5 myself. And it was brutal, and it was just, I mean, you could tell Moxley was having a good time.
Yeah. We haven't seen him like that in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has more fun doing these hardcore-type matches than he probably does porking his wife when he gets home. Man, am I pushing the boundaries tonight or what?
Don't have too much pussy.
Maybe just a little bit. Daniel?
I thought this was awesome, too. You know, it reminds me of a couple years ago when he was Dean Ambrose then in WWE, and he had that big Extreme Rules match it was supposed to be against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, but they wouldn't let him do what he wanted to do. At least that's what he said. And the match ended up sucking when that should have been the match of the year, match of the card, the best match on that show, Brock Lesnar versus Dean Ambrose in a hardcore match. But you take that for what it was, they didn't let him do anything. And it sucked. And then you take this match where you let him run wild. Joey Janela looked good too, by the way, even though I think he's kind of an idiot. But, you know, I thought he was very good in this match as well. You let Moxley just go wild. There wasn't a lot of blood. You know, it was brutal. They beat the shit out of each other. But there wasn't a lot of blood, and they did it well. You know, the psychology of it, taking the guy's boots off and putting his feet in the thumbtacks. No one thinks of that. But that has to hurt like a bitch, and the psychology of that was perfect. You know?
I loved it.
I loved it, too.
Yeah.
You know?
It was...
For hardcore... Oh, I'm sorry, Eric.
Oh, no, go ahead. Sorry.
But for hardcore, which a lot of people think is a genre that's played out, to do stuff that's inventive and new and creative with it, especially in this era, is awesome. And the fact that they did that and they made everything work and then the run-in at the end with Omega set everything up perfectly and makes Omega look more like a badass, which what he needed to go out there and beat the hell out of Jon Moxley. And then ending the show with Moxley smiling about it, I thought it was perfect. I give this whole match, the end segment, whatever, a 4.5. It's very close to a 5 for me. But it was really good.
Yeah, this
it was really good. And here's the thing. I'm sorry to interrupt there, but
no problem.
The thing with Moxley again, he was definitely in his element, and he was in the element that he wants to be in. He likes being this hardcore crazy guy. He doesn't like being a PG Brian Pillman.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, like a PG loose cannon. Right? And that's what WWE was making him. They made him this goofy guy that, you know, they called him a lunatic, but he's the kind of lunatic that you would see on a cartoon.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he looked very happy.
Absolutely. I thought they both played their roles well. I thought Joey played the goofy idiot guy well, and Moxley played the hardcore guy well. And compared to the first one, the first hardcore match felt like a WWE match, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And this one felt like it was just, we haven't seen anything like this in a while. Maybe like in CZW or something. But overall, I thought this was 5 out of 5, as I said. Do you have any final thoughts on this match, guys?
No, I thought it was perfectly done. I guarantee you won't see anything like it at Extreme Rules.
No, you won't.
Very good.
And Kenny Omega, you know, Kenny Omega showed that he can get down and dirty too.
Which he needed.
Yeah, he needed to get that revenge like Moxley did at Double or Nothing. They both attacked each other at both shows. Now they probably won't. I don't know if they'll attack each other at Fight for the Fallen, but it sets up beautifully for August 31st in Chicago. This year's center. All out. That's going to be a fantastic match. One of the most anticipated matches on that show. Any final thoughts on this pay-per-view before we move on to talk about Fight for the Phone?
Now I'm ready to get into it.
Let's do this thing.
We can do some predictions. Let's see how many matches are in this.
No, I thought we were going to review a show that hasn't happened yet.
Oh. No, I mean.
Well, you said we can do the predictions. I'm like, oh no, I thought we were going to review the show even though it hasn't happened yet.
No, I meant, you know what I meant.
Oh, yeah. Cena versus Kenny Omega. That was a great match, even though, you know, it doesn't air till next Saturday. You had too much to drink when you were over here.
I didn't even drink. This is only a 5-card match. I thought there was more matches than this.
You know they still have a week to make more matches, right?
That's true. Well,
Doug, you got fucked up.
It's okay, Doug. I forgive you.
Yeah, we forgive you, Doug.
I'm glad somebody does.
Well,
Blog Talk Radio might not.
Well, the first match in the card is going to be Brandi Rhodes versus Allie in the singles match. I think it's going to be a good match. It's going to be the first time we see Brandi Rhodes in the ring in AEW. Did she fight in WWE? I don't remember.
She never wrestled in WWE, but she wrestled in TNA and she wrestled in Ring of Honor.
Okay. She's not bad.
I think this is probably going to be a solid match to open the show. I'm assuming it's going to open the show. Wikipedia has it.
Never assume.
Exactly. I'm just going by Wikipedia, so. I think Brandi's gonna win this match just because she's the chief operator, whatever she is.
Yeah, and plus, you know, because it is her first match, they might, you know, she might give herself the win. You should want to build Allie as well, but you know they gotta let Brandi have a strong showing here. So I could see Brandi winning this thing.
Yep,
yeah.
I could see too. So you guys are going Brandi too?
Yeah, I mean, this one could go either way, but if you've watched that Road for Fight for the Fallen, Brandi's kind of given an emotional promo about how she has to win it or she's a failure and all that. So I can either see her taking this or losing last minute and it being a big deal. And then she just goes wild and starts beating the hell out of Allie.
And then goes back and tells Cody Rhodes that she wants a divorce because he changed the booking on her.
I could also see this being a draw, too. Setting up a rematch all out.
Yeah, it could be. I'm going to give this one to Allie.
That's fair. And Doug, you're giving it to Brandi, too?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not giving it to Brandi. Cody would kick my ass. She's a married woman, for Christ's sake, Eric. I would never give it to her.
She wouldn't take it.
Anyway, we give Doug.
Is this thing almost over? I've crossed so many lines.
It's going to be a pleasure just doing this with the two of us next week.
Maybe we should do a real preview next Saturday, but we can talk about that. Kenny Omega versus Seema. I think this is going to be a fantastic match. I think it's going to steal the show, as I said earlier in the show. I think Kenny Omega is going to win because he needs to win heading into the match against Moxley. I can see Seema stealing the match, but I can also see Moxley interfering. So either way, I think Kenny Omega probably gets to win unless Moxley interferes. What do you guys think?
I think Moxley interferes and Seema wins it.
I could see that too.
It's got to be done right because Omega cannot go into this match with Moxley cold. And I also think that Moxley has to win the all-out match. He's got to beat Kenny Omega. So I think you give Omega the win here against Seema, have him go in hot, and then he takes the loss there. Because he did lose to Jericho, and this is your top guy or one of them. So you can't have him lose too much. So let him get the win here where it really doesn't mean a whole lot.
Well, yeah, and Seema did beat Christopher Daniels.
Yeah, this will be the best match on the card. This will be amazing, and Seema's going to look awesome. But let Omega get the last-minute win and then take it from there. You know Mox is going to come out. You know they're going to fight. But, I'd say give this one to Omega.
Exactly. The next match is the tag team match. I think this is going to be the most anticipated match on the card. The Rhodes Brothers versus the Young Bucks. This is going to be the first time Cody and Dusty team up in quite some time. When was that? They teamed up as Stardust and Goldust, right? Not as themselves.
The last time they teamed up was back in 2015. That was their last time as a team. I mean, you know, some people are probably going to say, oh, this is the first time they've teamed up in AEW. Well, AEW's only been around for 2 months, so that necessarily doesn't mean anything. This is their third show.
Exactly.
But this match is going to be a good match, but I actually see the Young Bucks winning this thing. I think the Bucks are going to take it because I think Sean Spears, provided he doesn't get his ass beat too much in the six-man, is going to come out, and I think he's going to put the screws to Cody.
And I think it depends on the match placement, too, if that matches.
Well, that's why I said, as long as he doesn't get beat up too bad in the six-man, he'll come out and he'll cost Cody the match, or he'll come out and distract Cody to where, you know, Dustin gets beat.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go to Rhodes Brothers here. I think the Young Bucks they won their first two matches in AEW so far, so I think they're in due for a loss, and I think somebody, maybe the Lucha Brothers, come out and distract them or something. I know that's not their forte, but I could very well see Young Bucks losing this, because I think they're building up for Cody and Dustin. Dustin win, and I think Dustin goes out with a win, and he retires after the match.
Yeah. I think leave out the Sean Spears thing for right now, or maybe build to it after. But to me, this would be the perfect ending for the Dustin Cody little rivalry we've had. If right here it ends with them getting that heartfelt win over the Young Bucks. If they get a win here and they stand in the ring and they did it for Dusty, and the crowd's going to be going bananas. And to me, that's the perfect ending for this thing. And if Dustin wants to retire, Dustin can retire. If not, you know, it's awesome for him to stick around too. But to me, that's the perfect ending. You know, I think the Young Bucks are the staple of the tag division. I think they can afford a loss here. I don't know if Dustin and Cody can. I think them winning here would be a great moment, because that's what we need now. AEW needs a I mean, they already have had main moments, but this would be a genuine moment on this card if they somehow found a way to beat the Young Bucks, and they did it. And you even give Dustin the pinfall.
Yeah. I actually think this might be the main event if they do it right. And they have those four hugging at the end. I mean, they have let Cody and Dustin have their moment, and then they'll shake the Young Bucks' hand, they'll hug them, and the Young Bucks leave them in the ring, they'll hug it out, and Cody will raise his hand, and then he'll leave the ring, and Dustin will make a speech and say goodbye.
Yeah. Well, this match will prove how good the Young Bucks actually are, because this is a psychology match now. This isn't a bunch of flips, which I love watching too. This isn't just being athletic. This is psychology, and the Young Bucks are going to have to play the roles well.
Exactly.
Of the elite tag team kicking ass. And they're going to have to make the Rhodes brothers look good.
Right, and like you said, this is not going to be a flip match, because Dusty and Cody do not do flips. The only thing they flip is hamburgers on the grill. Okay.
I can't imagine.
Oh, you can't tell me they don't flip hamburgers on the grill. They're Dusty's kids, for Christ's sake.
No, I was going to say, I can't imagine Dustin doing a flip over the rope.
Yeah, Dustin doing a fucking shooting star press or something.
Yeah. Or
I would picture him more as a 450 guy.
Yeah, I can see that. You have any more thoughts on that, Doug? Sorry to interrupt.
No, I'm good with that.
How about you, Daniel?
I think I'm good. I'm really looking forward to this one.
Yeah, I am too. I think this is the most anticipated match on the card. The next match on the card is Adam Page versus Kip Sabian. I think this is probably going to be Adam Page is going to go over. I think this might be like not so much a jobber match, but probably like a 10-minute solid match where Adam Page goes over before Chris Jericho. Again, Chris Jericho may very well interfere because he wasn't at Fyter Fest last Saturday, so we could see an appearance from Chris Jericho. It wouldn't surprise me. This is the match where I think there might be an interference.
Oh, yeah.
And it has to come eventually, because they have to build up to the title match.
Exactly.
Yeah. I wasn't so much into Moxley interfering for the Omega match. I know that Chris Jericho is going to interfere in this match. I don't think Hangman Page needs to win. He's got two wins under his belt now. He looks good. He's going to look good during the match. Give Kip Sabian the rub by having him, even if it's a quick, sneaky victory, have Jericho screw Paige over, let Kip Sabian look good by beating the number one contender, and then build towards that title match. That's the way I'm going. I'm going Kip Sabian.
I'm going to go ahead and say that Sabian's going to win this thing. I mean, Adam Page should, by all rights, win it, but you need to build to the world title. You need to build to the world title match. You need to have Jericho, because Jericho's not going to wrestle at this thing, because, you know, he went on Twitter and said that because these events are free, he's not wrestling at free pay-per-views.
Yeah. I mean, he did a few years for WWE Network.
You know, WWE Network, you really didn't have a choice, because unless you're Brock Lesnar, you can't do whatever you want.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
Because Brock Lesnar can pick you up, put you in his mouth, and swallow you whole, you know, Brock Lesnar's allowed to get away with that stuff. But, you know, here in AEW, Jericho can get away with that stuff, too, because Jericho's not needed all the time.
No, and that's Jericho playing the perfect heel. Jericho knows what he's doing.
Jericho plays the perfect heel because, you know, he is easy to dislike. He knows how to get people on get on people's nerves, just like MJF does. All right, you know, Jericho's a little better at it because he's done it for so long.
Yeah,
right.
So, you know, Jericho, right? You know, Jericho should interfere in this match.
Yeah, this is the match where he should.
And then you get Kip Sabian over by getting him this victory. Because to me, Hangman Page doesn't need to win this one. He shouldn't lose clean, no way. But you have Jericho screw him over, let Kip Sabian get the win, make him look good in the future, and then you build towards that title match.
Exactly.
And I could see Adam Page chasing Chris Jericho into the crowd, and they have a brawl and whatever. And that's how it ends. The six-man tag. Do you have any? You guys have any more thoughts on that match?
No, I'm good.
Fifth match in the card is Jimmy Havoc, Darby Allin, and Joey Janela. That's quite a team. versus MJF, Sammy Gargano. And Sean Spears.
Sammy Guevara.
Tag. Thank you. Sorry, I botched that name again. I think this is gonna be a decent six-man tag. I mean, you got Jimmy Havoc and Darby Allin and Joey Janela. That's a hardcore team.
Yeah,
who all
do not get along, by the way.
Yeah.
Joey Janela and Jimmy Havoc do not like each other.
That's gonna be interesting. No.
And MJF has stated on the record he hates Sean Spears.
Right. I mean, for crying out loud, you know, after what Sean Spears did to a personal friend of MJF's, I mean, you know, MJF and Sean Spears, you know, they could get along worse than God and Satan.
I wonder who's going to get along more, Jimmy Havoc or Joey Janela or MJF and
No, they're all going to beat the crap out of each other. that's almost a given.
Yeah. But
You know how they're going to tag in and out of the ring, you know, Janela and Havoc? They're going to tag in and out of the ring by stapling each other's eyes shut.
and Darby Allin in the middle.
When Jimmy Havoc says, okay, Janela, you want in the ring? Oh, yeah, sure, give me a tag. And then he staples his balls together.
And Darby Allin gets in the way, and he gets his head and stuck in the middle.
And then he gets a staple in the ass. But,
I'm giving this one to the heels. I think MJF, Sean Spears, and that Sammy character, they need to win this one.
Well, yeah, because MJF hasn't won anything yet.
No, yeah, he needs a win under his belt. And,
I can see MJF getting the pin over Joey Janela. I can see them actually having a match at All Out. MJF versus Joe Janela. That seems like a match.
That
the only thing that
MJF has won so far is he won the award for getting out of the building, you know, in Daytona Beach, you know, the fastest the other night after making fun of all the virgins that play video games.
I thought that comment was actually hilarious.
Yeah.
Right.
Even though I play video games.
But, like, you, like panning to the crowd, or, like, specific people in the crowd were just like, oh, I can't believe he said that about me. It's like, well, you should be more disappointed about the fact that he was right about you. Not the fact that he said it, but the fact that it's actually true.
I'm surprised that didn't hurt your feelings, Doug.
We don't have a basement. We don't have
That's
a basement,
true.
And you took the Xbox.
You guys are hilarious.
Don't you butter us up.
You guys have any final thoughts before we wrap up? I know, Doug, you have to go to work tomorrow, so I don't want to keep you up all night.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, the street corners get busy in the morning. I got to make sure I get to work.
Exactly.
I'm excited for Fight for the Fallen. I can't wait.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
It's gonna be a really good show, and I can't wait to see what else gets added. I think they are gonna add a couple more matches.
Yeah, I can't imagine it being just five matches.
It's not just going to be five matches. I mean, I do see them adding maybe like another tag match. To see who's going to face. Who's going to face the best friends at All Out for the first round bye. I would not be surprised if we get the Dark Order versus Angelico and Jack Evans added to this thing.
I could see that. We haven't seen Smash. We haven't seen Dark Order fight yet. So,
well, yeah, and I would not be surprised if they make their debut, their in-ring debut, at Fight for the Fallen, which, by the way, is in the home, the home territory of AEW in Jacksonville.
Yep.
So, you know, it's basically going to be, you know, right where the offices of AEW are. So
exactly.
You know, it should be a really good show. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, is that outdoors or they're doing it indoors?
I think they're doing it indoors.
I wasn't sure if they're doing it at the Jags Stadium, which would be
It's a throwaway show. I don't see them, or not necessarily a throwaway show, but because it's another show they're already giving away for free on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I don't see them, you know, filling up a big stadium for this.
Exactly. It's a show before the big show. It's like Elimination Chamber before.
Right.
So, do you guys think, which one do you think will be their WrestleMania?
All Out.
I think All Out's going to be the WrestleMania type event.
Yeah, I think in the summer, I think this is going to be there in Chicago. I won't even be surprised they have it in Chicago every year. Honestly.
I think they already said they were going to.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. If you don't have any final thoughts?
No, I think I'm good. I've crossed just about every line I could cross tonight, and I don't feel like I should cross anymore.
How about you, Daniel?
Good.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for coming on, and give us a follow at Philly Sports Passion, Philly Sports SP Podcast and thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you next week, probably. Thank you, guys.
You're very welcome.
Yes, sir.
Adios.
See ya.
Later. Peace.